All right, take a seat. Take a seat, take a load off them feet. And grab your Bible, and grab your booklet or your journal, and let's get ready to learn together. As you're making your way back to your seats, I'm gonna read the passage of scripture that we're gonna spend the majority of our time in tonight. So I wanna invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." God, thank you so much for another opportunity to open up your word and to be reminded and encouraged by the fact that we are built different if we've placed our faith and our trust in you and in the work of your son, Jesus. And I pray that you would show us exactly what every single one of us need to be reminded of and encouraged by from your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And so in 2015, I started my amateur soccer coaching career at the Richardson YMCA Soccer League. That's right, that's right. I started coaching a team along with my friend and my boss at the time, David Peniel. The team's name was the Ninjas. And the Ninjas are, in fact, in seventh grade right now. I think they're out there somewhere. Here they are. There we go. So we started coaching them when they were in kindergarten. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched kindergartners play soccer, but they can't. They all run up to the ball all together. And they kick the ball around in a circle, and there's not much understanding for what's going on. And so during our kindergarten years, we were wearing these yellow jerseys, and that signified that time, that point in time. We helped them grow and develop and practice, but you just do what you can when you're working with kindergartners. Then we move on to what I would like to call our blue jersey years. You know, first grade, second grade, third grade, around there. They're developing their skills. We're continuing to coach them and train them that it's not about individual success. It's not about individual accomplishment. It's about the team working together as one, having a ton of fun and working hard to try and win every single game. And later on, in the later years of elementary school, we moved on to our white jersey years, where we continued to excel, where we continued to grow in our skill, where we continued to become better and better soccer players in one of the most difficult soccer leagues in the world, the Richardson YMCA Soccer League. And so over the course of these years of kindergarten all the way up until the end of fifth grade, there were some seasons where we didn't do good. You know, we just lost a lot of games. And what we got was participation trophies. You know, good job, kindergartners. You know, you did a good job. You worked hard. You developed your skills. And that's really what mattered. But then, guys, I don't mean to brag, but I will. Later on in our career, we won back to back to back Richardson YMCA. Zoom in on this. Make sure they see I'm not messing around. This is like real, real first place championship winning trophies as we continue to grow in our skill, grow in our unity, grow in our encouragement of each other, grow in our skill and desire and will to win. And the reason I start there is because one of the things that we continuously instilled in these young men was that the team was most important. It wasn't about your individual accolades or your individual accomplishments. We are better together. In fact, one of our mantras that we would say all the time at practice is, are we individuals? No. What are we? A team. There we go. Come on. And so I have a clip of them, I think around maybe second or third grade, repeating this mantra. And I want you to just kind of see how it seeped into their minds. Watch this with me really quickly. Let's start it over from the beginning so we can hear him. Let's go. We were instilling that truth in them from the very beginning. We are not individuals. We are a team. And so they bought into that essential message that they were better together. Not when they were focused on themselves or what they were doing or what they were accomplishing, but what we were accomplishing together as a team, whether or not we won first place. And I think we can all learn a lesson from the YMCA ninjas. What we consistently remind ourselves of influences how we live. What we consistently, regularly, maybe day by day, what we remind ourselves of influences the way we live. And so as we continued over the years to remind them that the focus was on the good and the encouragement and the growth and development of the team, it influenced the way that they played on the soccer field. And I think the same is true for us, just in life in general. What we consistently remind ourselves of influences how we live. So tonight I want to spend our time answering the question, what should teenagers who are built different, that is teenagers who stand strong when life gets shaky, what should those teenagers consistently, regularly remind themselves of? And like we read at the beginning, we're going to explore Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, which says this. Let me read it again. So then, remember, we're looking for the things that we should regularly remind ourselves of because it'll influence the way we live. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So let me give you a summary statement of what Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 is saying. And then we're going to break that statement down and just make some observations along the way. You ready? It's saying that we, those who are built different, who've placed their faith and trust in Jesus, and he is the foundation of your life, because any other foundation is sinking sand, we are part of God's family. We benefit from the work of God's Son and God's people, and we are being built different together by the power of the Spirit. We are part of God's family, we're benefiting from the work of God's Son and God's people, and we are being built different together by the power of God's Spirit. So let's observe the first phrase in that summary statement. We are part of God's family. Again, verse 19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to these new Christians, these Gentile Christians who were not Jews, who weren't the promised people of God initially. And he's saying, hey, although you were formerly outsiders to the promise I made that all nations of the earth would be blessed, now you are blessed. You get to experience all of the rights and privileges and joys of being a part of my family because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so those Christians in the early church who were not Jews, they were Gentiles, they were now a part of God's family because of Jesus. And like I referenced last night, I was born in Jamaica, and I've lived here in Dallas for almost 13 years now, but I'm still a Jamaican citizen. Like, I still have a Jamaican passport. And here's what that means. While I live in America and enjoy my life and my family and the opportunity to live and serve with you guys, there's just certain things I can't do. I can't vote because I'm not a citizen of this country. I've never voted ever in my life since I've been eligible to vote. You know, if I were stuck abroad, the American government wouldn't be coming to find me and help me and rescue me because I'm not a citizen of this country. I'm not eligible to be elected to some government position. Not that I would want to be, but you get what I'm saying. Those are the things that are reserved, the rights and privileges, some of them that are reserved to citizens of this nation. But for those of us who are built different, who are a part of God's family, we have something much more powerful than a place of birth. We have something much more powerful than our passport. For those of us who are built different, we have an incredible unifier in the gospel. The gospel is the great unifier. It is what brings us all on the same level playing field at the foot of the cross, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past has been like, because of Jesus, we all are invited in to be a part of God's family. See, we try to divide ourselves, right? We try to divide ourselves amongst our friend groups or our classmates or whatever it might be. We divide ourselves based on our personality. Oh, I don't really click with this person or something like that. We divide ourselves based on popularity. I want to be with this group because they're the ones that get the attention in school or in our social circles. We divide ourselves based on our political opinions, what we believe is true about the world and how our country should be ran and what our views should be on different issues. We divide ourselves based on the pigment of our skin. But the gospel is a great unifier. That supersedes and is more powerful and effective than any of the ways that we try to bring division amongst ourselves. The gospel unifies us. It is the great unifier, inviting us and making us a part of God's family. And one other fact that is so true about those who are a part of God's family is that our identity is not up for debate. If you are a son or daughter of God who has placed your faith and trust in Jesus, that is your identity. Not what you think it is, not what culture says it is, not what your friends around you say it is. Your identity is safe and secure and purchased by the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Our identity is not up for debate. Let me give you an example. Here's a picture of my son and my daughter. My son Winslow and my daughter Darcy, she's 5 weeks old. Today she was up here at D-Town this morning. And it was really fun to get to see them for just a little bit. But that's my son and that's my daughter. No matter what they do, no matter where they go, no matter how much they reject me when they're teenagers, no matter how much they try to disassociate themselves from our family, no matter what they do for the rest of their lives, even trying to be adopted into another family, whatever it is, whatever they do, it cannot change the fact that they are my children. And so it is with you. No matter where you go, no matter what your life looks like, if you are built different, you have placed your life on the firm foundation of Jesus, it doesn't matter what the opinion of yourself or others is, your identity is not up for debate. But here's the truth. Here's the reality. Some of you in the room, you've been debating with yourself for a long time, and you've been giving yourself a different identity. Maybe you've taken on the identity of, man, I'm a failure. I can't seem to get anything right. I'm a mistake. I'm unwanted. People don't want me around. I'm unlovable. I'm not welcomed. I'm not enough. I can't work hard enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. Some of you have told yourself these lies for so long that you've started to believe them. And shame maybe is filling your life even now. Maybe you've even considered what life would be like, what it would be like if you weren't around. And to you, I say, if you are someone who is believing in an identity that is not what God says of you, here's the reminder that I heard several years ago that I think is so helpful. The opinion of the one who matters most is what matters most. The opinion of the one who matters most is what matters most. In other words, the opinion of the creator of the universe, the moon and the stars, the mountains and everything there is that created you uniquely as you are, his opinion is a fact that is the most important reality about you. And he says that you are loved. And he says that you are wanted. And he says that you are worth it. And he says that you're not a mistake. And he says that you are his prized possession. He says that you are part of his family with full access to all the rights and the privileges and joys of being a part of the family of God. That's what God says about you. And it's not up for debate, not even by you. And so those who are built different need to constantly remind themselves that they are part of God's family because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. And so the second part of that phrase is, we are part of God's family and we benefit from the work of God's Son and God's people. So let's read again. Verses 19 and 20 of Ephesians 2, as we observe this idea that we benefit from the work of God's Son and God's people. Verses 19 and 20 say, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens. You're no longer outsiders, but you are welcomed in. You are fellow citizens with the saints and you are members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, some translations say. And so what verse 20 is highlighting for us is that there is so much work that has gone into being a part of the family of God that happened long before you and I were ever on the scene. Old Testament people trusted in God. They put their faith in the promises of God that through them, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Old Testament prophets would prophesy to the nation of Israel and to other nations, and they would say, God loves you, and he's inviting you into a relationship with him. Some of them would be so faithful and firm in standing up for God and his word and his way that it cost them their very lives, as we're building the foundation that you and I get to experience and be a part of today. And then we get to the New Testament and we see Jesus continuing to build on this foundation by living a perfect life, by dying a holy and perfect death, and raising again from the dead, victorious over sin and death and hell and the grave, so that he would become the most important cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, the most important piece of this house, if you will, that is being built different. So the people in the early church after the resurrection of Jesus, they preached the gospel faithfully and fearlessly, some losing their lives, so that in 2023, you can sit freely in this auditorium and have a ton of fun and sing songs and make memories and learn about Jesus. So much has gone into the building up of the family of God long before you ever came on the scene. have an illustration of this that I think is really helpful. Over the Christmas break, my wife and I decided we were gonna give our son a play kitchen for as one of his Christmas presents. He loves playing with kitchen utensils and, you know, pots and pans and all of these different things. And so we were like, I have an idea. Let's buy this expensive fake kitchen and let's have Jermaine spend 5 hours meticulously putting it together. And so on Christmas Eve night, I was in one room just working on this play kitchen, putting it together, building this toy that my son would get to enjoy. And then we filmed it. We filmed his response when he got this present. And I think it illustrates the point that I'm trying to make here. Watch this.
Come on, Winslow.
You
want
to come get your present?
You see your kitchen?
Oh man, it's so good. It's so good. Hey, he came out, he had done nothing, literally nothing. All he had done was slept all night and woken up and was in his playroom playing with his toys. We invited him out and he got to experience and play with this toy where so much time and effort and energy had been put into it. And in the same way, guys, we've just shown up. In the year 2000 and whatever you were born in. We just showed up. And there's so much work that has gone before us building up the family of God. And because that is true, Christian teenagers, all of us, any Christian really, should be the most grateful, humble, and generous people around. Because of all who have gone before for us and built into this foundation with Jesus as the cornerstone, Christian teenagers should be the most grateful, humble, and generous people around. And far too often, we're more marked by ingratitude, pride, and selfishness. When we should be the most grateful, humble, and generous people around. I think one of the ways that I would want to speak over you and encourage you to consider being more generous as one of those characteristics that should mark you if you are built different is with your words. I think in 2023, it's so easy to say what you want, whenever you want, however you want, without consequence. With the rise of social media, You can say something on there. You can have a ton of keyboard courage on there without any responsibility or accountability. Or maybe in our post-COVID world, we've just become just plain meaner. At least our world has. That shouldn't be the way that marks those who are built different, who are part of God's family. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you to consider, and how can I be marked not by selfishness, but by generosity, specifically with just the way I talk, in person or online? How can I be more of a person that celebrates others instead of tearing them down? How can I be more of a person that encourages others and builds them up? How can I be more of a person that includes others and brings them in instead of someone who is exclusive, who's a gossip, and who's just plain mean? As if you're built different, this is what's true of you, or should be true of you, that you're some of the most grateful, humble, and generous people in the world because of all of the sacrifice and work that has gone into building up this family, the family of God, that you get to be a part of if you're a follower of Jesus. So we're going to wrap with the last segment of our summary statement. And so we've seen by way of reminder that we are part of God's family and we benefit from the work of God's Son. And lastly, we are being built different together by the power of God's Spirit. We're being built different together by the power of God's Spirit. Look at the words and the imagery that is in Ephesians chapter 2, specifically verses 21 and 22. But let me read all four verses again to wrap our minds around it. It says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So do you see it? Christians are being described as a perfectly designed building with the God of the universe as the architect of this family, this building, this body that is built different. The people of God, those who've placed their lives on the firm foundation of Jesus, they are set apart as a holy dwelling place for God. Guys, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are part of his family, you are part of this building that is being knitted and woven together by the powerful creator of the universe who sent his son so that you can be a part of his church, so that you can be a part of his family. You see, we were never meant to be built different by ourselves. We were never meant to be built different alone. We were meant for community. We were meant to be on this journey of life where the storms of life often come. We were meant to go through those things not by ourselves, not in our own power, not by our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us with the community of believers surrounding us. And guys, when we are built different together, we encourage each other. When we're built different together, we protect each other. We pray for each other. We study God's word together. We support one another. We are there for one another in difficult times. We serve each other. We serve our city. We speak kindly to one another. We act differently at school. We build one another up. We serve locally at our church, and we serve overseas because we want to make as many people know of the kindness and goodness and grace of God. We share the gospel. We are grateful. We are humble. We are generous. We are patient. We are kind. We are merciful. These are the things that should mark the family of God as we grow as a part of this building that God is putting together and structuring so that those around us who are lost and lonely and hurt and broken can see that there's something different there. That there's something different about your life. That there's something about you that when life gets shaky, you stay strong. And that it's not in your own doing, but by the power of God at work in you. And not just at work in you, but at work in all of those around you. So that you're built different together. Matthew 16, 18 says this. Jesus is talking about the building up of his church. And here's what he says to Peter, one of the disciples. "You are Peter. And upon this rock, the fact that I am the Savior of the world, the Son of God who came into this world to seek and save the lost, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I don't know if you know this or I don't know if you've seen this, but gates don't do much attacking. We, the church, are attacking the gates of hell. We are storming the gates of hell and we're telling the people over there who are lost and broken and lonely, that there's freedom, that there's life, that they don't have to live their life on a sinking foundation, that it doesn't have to be sandy, that their life can be marked by a standing firm when life gets shaky. Why? Because we're built different together. You see, you and I, those who are part of God's family, benefiting from the work of God's Son and God's people in the past, we're being built different together into something way bigger than ourselves. The church that Jesus promised that he would build and invite every single one of us to be a part of it, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Who doesn't want to be a part of that building? Who doesn't want to be built different like that? But no one's going to force you. Remember what I said last night? Jesus stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. And he's just waiting to see if you'll open the door and let him in. And that would be one of the most important decisions you would ever make in your life. Because you'll be built different. You'll stand strong when life gets shaky. And not just by yourself, but you'll be built different together with other teenagers who want to walk with God, who want to love God and know God all of their days. And I pray that you, as you walk out of this weekend, that is something that sticks in your mind. Man, I want to be built different. I don't want to just be a normal teenager. I want to be one that is transformed by Christ so that I can love like he loves. Let me pray that we would. God, thank you so much for these students. And thank you so much for this weekend. And thank you for the opportunity we've had to consider your invitation to be built different, to have our lives founded upon the firm foundation, which is the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. God, I pray that your Spirit would allow the gospel to be made so clear and evident to someone right now that they would throw off their sandy foundation and run to you. I pray for that girl or that boy, that young man who has followed you in the past and has just given up or stopped for whatever the reason. Would you encourage their hearts right now that they can always come home, that they are part of your family, no matter what they do, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done, if they've placed their faith and trust in you. And God, I thank you for the students in this room who've, as best as they know how, have been seeking to honor you and to walk with you. God, would you strengthen their hearts? Would you strengthen their faith? Would you inspire them and encourage them that they are part of something bigger than themselves? When they go back to their classes on Monday, when they go back to their families tomorrow, when they go back to their teams, when they go back to their friend groups, would you just remind them of the amazing opportunity they have to stand strong when life gets shaky? Because it will. Or it is for some of them right now. God, would you give them the grace and the faith that they need? We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.